This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Wrestling Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey.
Taking a look at Sunday night's main event from this weekend. We're going to kick off with the United States Championship situation. Lil Yachty was going up against Baron Corbin. He just had to last his 5 minutes, and Trick would get his title shot, and, well, Yachty survived.
Yep. It's fine. It was what it was supposed to be. Anybody was actually surprised by the fact that Yachty survived the 5 minutes. I will say this.
They did say that
WWE definitely showed that they at least trusted Baron Corbin to start the show with the first third. So.
Yeah, I think Yachty lasting the time was kind of an assumption, so that Trick can have his match. I think had it gone any other way, it would have been a little confusing of a start to the show. But the piece that personally I didn't expect was Trick Williams got the United States Championship back.
Yeah, I didn't expect that either, but it's going to be interesting seeing where they go from here. Especially with Baron Corbin seemingly gaining the title just to lose it back to Trick. I think it shoots the idea that we had of maybe Trick being the Money in the Bank winner. But maybe that just means that they're making Carmella the Money in the Bank winner.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a twist to how I was expecting it to go. As you said, you know, kind of expected Baron Corbin to retain, continue to be that sort of mid-card guardian of people moving further up the card. Trick goes on to get himself in the Money in the Bank, bada bing, bada boom, works his way towards the world title scene. Him winning the title back here is a little confusing. It's not saying we can't, you know, still do the Money in the Bank piece, but does mean we had a transitional in Corbin back to Trick. Wouldn't really want this Trick reign to be super short necessarily either. So it opens us up, but in a confusing way, just because I don't know exactly where we're headed. But it does open up a few other people to become favorites for that men's Money in the Bank. So when we get to, you know, talking about that in a couple of weeks, or talking about that heavily when we know the competitors, it should be interesting.
And I think they kind of are told us with the fact that they never got rid of Trick's special United States Championship.
That is true. It did still have the fur. I sort of took that as Baron Corbin mocking Trick, keeping it on there. But in hindsight, maybe it was a logistical easiness. Talking about one of the futures, Trick Williams, let's talk about two more of them. Obafemi, Bron Breakker. They were going head-to-head until we got a return.
This was a brawl. As our good buddy Big E said, this was just two meaty men slapping meat. It looked like Oba was about to win when we got a third meaty man to enter the picture. Good old Bronson Reed.
Yeah, it was an interesting turn. I think not extremely shocked by it. It is the thing I'm shocked by is seeing, touch wood, four members of the Vision healthy. I know Logan's still got a bit of a problem with his arm, but we are still, you know, appearing on TV together with four of them. It's an interesting turn. It has, you know, Obafemi gets beaten down at Sunday night's main event. We go to Raw. They beat him down again. And so for the meantime, it does look like Obafemi's short-term future is going to have to be going through the Vision.
Which means War Games! I I do think it's very interesting that Heyman doesn't seem to be caring that much about Bron Breakker. He was all about Bronson Reed's return and stuff. I think we may be getting sooner than later than Bron Breakker face after the War Games.
Yeah. Which he may, Heyman is an interesting
for the Money in the Bank, may be the fact that he may be the Money in the Bank holder.
Yeah.
When that goes down.
Heyman's the interesting factor here, because going into this match, right, he's obviously managing the vision to a point, and he's got respect for Obafemi. He continues to say Obafemi is the future. That is what Brock Lesnar said before he bowed out. And as you say, he's taken, you know, mysterious phone calls backstage. He's like, woo, we got ourselves Reed. Didn't super support Bron going into this match. He's going to be the catalyst for whatever ends up happening. I just don't know what shape it's all going to end up happening.
Yeah,
But it does position, you know, Femi, Bron, and Bronson all at the top.
Time to War Games. So there's still time.
And you keep mentioning War Games. War Games is an interesting one because there is quite a few trios floating around. We've obviously got Royce Keyes and his crew. We got the Bloodline. We got the Vision. I don't know what shape War Games is going to look like by the time we get there. In, what is it, like 3 months away?
Roughly about 2.5. Right. It'll be at the end of November.
We got a lot to get through before we get there, though, right? We got all of these different shows that are popping up. So, I don't know. There's so much. You know, Worlds Collide, Money in the Bank. Got a couple AAA shows as well. But it could be a very different landscape come War Games. And especially with the Vision's history of not being able to stay healthy, who knows what we actually end up getting. Well, cutting back to Sunday night's main event, we had a 6-woman tag team match. Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, and Tatum Paxley all on one side, and Jade Cargill, Meechan, and B-Fab standing on the other.
Okay. Color me surprised. I didn't think there was any way that they would have Tatum Paxley lose here, but they had her lose, but she was not the one that took the fall. It was Charlotte Flair that took the fall.
It seems like we're still continuing Jade Charlotte in some form. I did feel like this was over. Like if Charlotte's team had won here and we go on and do whatever we were going to do between Flair, Bliss, and Paxley, I thought was the way we were going to go forward. But now with Jade picking up the win here over Charlotte, I don't know what we're going to do with this group.
I feel like the answer is easy. Because we've already said it multiple War Games.
Yeah. And again, we've got more trios floating around, right? We've got Fatal Influence floating around as well. There's a bunch of options. I just don't know what form we're going to get. A lot of the times we get to War Games and we're going like, what random 5 people are we shoving together? In this case, it's like, oh, I got a bunch of trios and those don't really, that jigsaw piece don't quite fit. So, yeah, maybe it is Team Jade versus Team Charlotte. We'll see. What is it, 2.5 months? We'll see in 2.5 months what's still going in that SmackDown women's scene. But staying on SmackDown, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, they went head-to-head main event, and it was Randy Orton that came out on top of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, may not have been clean, but you do have another person who successfully has pinned Cody Rhodes since his return.
Yeah, it's not a long list of people, but we'll take it.
This was exactly what it needed to be. It is building. I think we're going to get another match, obviously, because now they're 1-1. But it's also adding like the Randy being more more of a heelish that he hasn't been a version of a heel that he's been before, with him being kind of pathetic in his groveling. And you've also had Cody Rhodes like have himself a like darker side to him too. So we're probably going to get a Hell in a Cell match for round three.
Yeah, I could see it. I think you definitely got to go stipulation now for sure. As you say, they've both teased the punt. They've both teased going evil. Don't know. The most likely outcome out of this is you go to the third match with the stipulation and Cody Rhodes just comes out clean. But you never know. Maybe they swerve me. Maybe they make me think one thing and go the other way. But the money is always on Cody when it comes to picking his matches. Not quite Roman Reigns and Rhea Ripley, but, gotta believe in the guy. And we're gonna go into our entrance theme in just a little bit. But to explain why, you know, out of nowhere, that we're playing Johnny Gargano's theme, if you missed SmackDown this week, he got himself a WWE title match against CM Punk. He got up off the floor.
Yep, he stopped planking. And I chose the theme because I think this is going to be the beginning of him being not only featured more in wrestling, but I think elevating him in the card itself. Who knows? Maybe they'll surprise us and give him the freaking briefcase.
It was definitely, it was a good match. And I think we already know Johnny Gargano can go. I feel like it is one of two things, as you say, the beginning of something good for him or the beginning of the end. If he is going to fade away and disappear off into the distance, maybe one last hurrah, but put on a banger with Punk. Seems to have that motivation, seems to have that fire again, and maybe this leads to something. As you say, mid-card championship, money in the bank, who knows? A lot of things possible. But we will play that entrance theme for you right about now. On Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh. AAA, Triple Mania, coming on up over two nights. Let's talk about that one. Roxanne Perez going for the, or to earn a match for the Reina de Reinas Championship at Worlds Collide, alongside Fabi Apache, Natty, and La Hedra.
And it feels like, I think probably Roxanne wins. Probably will win and then face the champion at Worlds Collide. And they could build that as part of whatever they're doing with the Judgment Day and her involvement with it.
Yeah, with who is going to be that champion on night two, the Reina de Reinas Championship is on the line. Flamma, who has held that title for a really long time, going up against La Catalina, fresh face to AAA.
Yeah, I would probably, honestly, I would expect the champion to retain. Not because I don't think because I don't think that they would switch it to this newcomer and then potentially put it in a situation where it could. I actually think Roxanne wins the title at Worlds Collide.
Okay, interesting. I'm going to go different. So I'll go with Roxanne winning the number one contendership match, but I will go with La Catalina picking up the Reina de Reinas championship and then holding on to it through Worlds Collide. So for once, we massively disagree with the direction of how it all goes, and we'll see this weekend, at least the first part of that, who's on the right direction for the AAA Women's Division. Back on night one, the AAA World Trios Championship is on the line. Los Psycho Circus, Dave Murder, and Panic Clown going up against Los Perros del Mal, Angel Berto, and Daga.
Professional wrestling, the only place where somebody can be named Murder Clown and it make complaints.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say here. I think if you're going to legitimize that group that they brought in that attacked El Grande and all that, I kind of feel like you have to have them win the title here, which, and these guys have had this title for 650 days, so they don't have a new champion buff. Yep.
Yeah, I agree. The Clowns have held the titles for a long time, and they haven't really been featured as the trio's champions. You know, like, I think Murder Clown might be the only one with a WWE.com, like, profile outside of Psycho Clown. They were kind of used as fodder for the El Cancinero debut to sort of attack them. This might just be a way to transition those trios titles off of them onto people like Angel Berto and Daga, who they are going to use going forward. Dunno. But I'm excited for a bit of a change up here, so I will go with Los Perros to come out with the win. And we'll see what happens with the Clowns in the future. We have a fatal four-way tag team elimination match. The LWO, Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wild versus Los Americanos versus the Tokyo Bad Boys versus Fraxium.
Well, so this has no bearings on anything like a title match or something. I'll go with the Tokyo Bad Boys on this one, because I don't think it really matters who wins this match. It could be a de facto number one contender match. But if there's nothing, no stakes, I'm just going to go with the most random team that I can see here. I'm also trying not to pick the WWE guys in every match.
Yeah, I think this one's just going to be a fun one. As there is no stakes, I don't think that, like, Fraxium, any of these four teams could win. And it would work. So, I'm not particularly tied to any of it. I do want Fraxium, because it's an elimination match, Fraxium to last, so we get to see a lot of what they can do, especially against the luchador types. I say as nobody in here is necessarily a traditional luchador, but it'll be interesting to watch them jump about for sure. But to a match that does have stakes, that AAA Latin American Championship, La Parca picking it up from the vacated Vikingo injury. He's defending it against Laredo Kid and Mr. Iguana.
This should be a pretty good match. I wouldn't rule out Mr. Iguana winning it, but I'm going to say La Parca retains, largely because of the new champion buff.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got that new champ buff, but Iguana is a chance. They could be trying to pull something here. They did highlight Iguana's friendship with La Parca, and you know, originally this was Parker and Laredo Kid, and Mr. Iguana kind of slid himself in. So I could definitely see them trying to pull a story out of this, but I just don't see Parker losing the championship. If they wanted to go that way, then, you know, why didn't you just have Mr. Iguana win the vacant title, for example? But we'll see. I'll officially pick La Parca, but I'm not going to complain if Iguana comes out with the win. Then we've got a 3-on-3, a delicious Mascara Sagrada and Mini Vikingo taking on Lady Shani, Jack Cartwheel, and Mini Abismo Negro. Another match with seemingly no massive stakes.
Yeah, I have no attachment to any of these names, except I recognize Masquerade because that was part of the whole El Grande story. So I'll go with that team just because I recognize that name.
That is fair. I'm I think Mini Viking goes on a bit of a come up at the moment, so I will also probably be picking that team. But I wouldn't put it past Lady Shani and Jack Cartwheel to come out with the win, but yeah, probably Mini Vikingo just to continue his up run. And then that leads us to the main event of night one, Rey Mysterio versus Omos. If Omos wins, he is no longer suspended and will probably interfere in the main event of night two. Whereas if Rey Mysterio wins, Omos will be permanently banned from AAA, leaving Dominic Mysterio defenseless.
And I think this might be where our good friend Paul Heyman comes into play. Because I think there's a good chance that the person he was talking to was Omos.
That would be an interesting turn of events.
So I think Rey wins, and Omos goes on to do stuff on the main roster with Paul.
Yeah, I don't really know what the plan is here, right? It all comes down to what kind of match you want Dominic and El Grande to have on night two. Obviously, it's going to be a banger. It's going to be the grand crowning of Americano. But do you want him to, you know, have to beat everybody to get there, have to go through Omos to do it? Or do you want just a nice, clean one-on-one? I did say defenseless. Obviously, JD is still floating around as somebody who could poke his nose in. But I don't know. I think Omos still has a bit of juice in him, to be fair, in AAA. So I'm gonna go with Omos winning.
This is the culmination of everything that they have been doing. The title match is. It's very, very reminiscent of Cody versus Roman round two. And I could see it going that way. But I think we all agree that El Grande Americano is walking out with the title, no matter what.
100%. That is, if night two doesn't end that way, I would be very shocked. But talking of night two, let's go with the first match that is on the list for the AAA World Cruiserweight Championship. Rey Fénix or Ricky Saints, depending how the championship defense goes before then, but probably Rey Fénix, taking on Jack Cartwheel, who would have wrestled the night before, Mini Vikingo, who would have wrestled the night before, and Nathan Frazier, who would have wrestled the night before.
But it's not the night before. It's two nights before.
Two nights.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be Fénix. There's no point in changing the title and then doing this match. Honestly, I'm going Mini Vikingo.
All right. All in. I could see it. Again, he has been on the come up. It's between him and Rey for me. Whether we want to continue telling the story with Rey Fénix putting on matches on SmackDown and all around the bazaars or not. I feel like we're not quite finished with that one. So I would hesitate more towards the side of Rey Fénix retaining. But, you know, if this was a couple months down the line and we did Rey Fénix versus Mini Vikingo one-on-one, I could definitely see Vikingo coming out with the win. We've already talked about the Reina de Reinas Championship. There is also a Battle Royal, of which we don't know the competitors for, so we can't talk about that one. But what we can talk about is the AAA World Tag Team Championships. There will be an open challenge, either the War Raiders or Damian Priest and R-Truth, depending on how SmackDown goes, issuing an open challenge for the World Tag Team titles.
Again, I think it's very similar to what we just talked about, where it doesn't make sense for them to lose the titles on SmackDown. But I will say, if anybody could do it, it would be Damian Priest and R-Truth, just for the comedic value of him going down there. And R-Truth maybe trying to speak broken Spanish just makes that thought is like, gives me like a 5% chance for that actually happening. But all realistically, we don't know who's going to accept the open challenge. I'm hoping maybe it's a new tag team that they're going to be using in AAA, and then you can have War Raiders give them a rub by passing the titles to them. But since we don't know, it's like I'm going to go with safe face and say they're not done with the War Raiders yet as champions down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the same. I think War Raiders retain on SmackDown. I do think they probably lose the titles here to somebody. But you know, we could just pull the Tokyo Bad Boys or Los Americanos or LWO from the night before or two nights before and bring them out as the open challenge person, then probably not. I probably wouldn't pick them over the War Raiders, but if it is a return, a debut, a shock or something like that, then I'm definitely going to be on the side of them to come out on top. War Raiders have had the titles for a little while now. They still have more juice in the tank for sure, but it could be time for a switch if there's some exciting spark coming into that AAA tag team division. And then there is a Mexican street fight, Psycho Clown versus the debuting El Carcinero. It's been interesting the past couple of weeks. Basically destroying all of the clowns, ruining their matches, messing up Pagano as well, really leading to this big clash, Psycho Clown fighting for the, fighting for everybody from his stable. And it's a street fight, so, you know, you can fit a lot of clowns in a car, I've heard.
Yeah, I was gonna pick Psycho Clown to win, because it's a Mexican street fight, the crazy clown sounds like he would win that, but when you said this is like a debuting guy, that gives him a buff, and that gives him the win, in my opinion.
Yeah, that is fair. It's a tough one for me. I think that they'll hopefully make it look good. He has had one match that went to a no contest at the AAA Heatwave show, but this is pretty much the big debut or the big in-ring debut. If we ignore his previous appearances as Drake Moreau, I feel like they're investing heavy in him. He had vignettes. He's got a storyline out of the bat. Probably comes out with the win here. Especially if El Grande Americano is winning the match. We've already got that sort of big feel-good moment for the show. We can have a couple others where the heel comes out on top. But I wouldn't be shocked if the clowns win. If the clowns win, it is because of the numbers game, for sure. Alrighty, well, that is the end of Triple Mania 34, both nights coming up this weekend. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about AAA before we round out the show?
No, because I think we're over time anyway.
Shh, they'll never know. I'll edit this so well. but that is all the time we have. It's been great talking to you.
Bye, B.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/wrestlingrndupper, twitter.com/wrestlingrndupper, YouTube page, youtube.com/wrestlingrndup, and we will catch you next week. The prize right in front of my eyes, taking up the sky's the limit, got no time to waste. Tonight's the big goal, strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from 3, go, press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.